Pat'em, let's get at 'em pile. It is a BT edition of the Jim Davis Show. Jim off today. He'll be back tomorrow. He gets a lot of vacation because he takes a lot of vacation. So you got Buckeye and baked goods with you here on a Monday. It is a glorious good, the bad, the ugly Monday. The ugly, how about that breeze yesterday?
That was nasty.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I woke up this morning. There was, so my apartment, you have to take stairs to get down to it. Mm-hmm. And there's always, every morning, there's, you know, leaves and
gunk
and scraps and stuff. And this morning it was like trash bags and some random foam.
Yeah, a couple hobos.
Not yet.
Not yet. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Leave that light on.
When all of the trash piles were out, that's when the urban outdoorsmen were gracing,
sniffing around.
Yes. At like 10:30 at night, too. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, a quiet lot, them as well, digging through the trash.
Absolutely.
Anyway, yeah, it was a little breezy yesterday, knocked over our grill.
Ugh.
Not on, but I think our regulator's busted.
Uh-oh.
So we need Nate Dogg and Warren G to help us out, the late Nate Dogg.
Regulators,
mount up. Yeah, so that's the ugly, the bad, just kind of the general mayness of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Just windy and blech.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
And a little bit of rain.
I will say this, though. I'll take the wind and cool and maybe a little rainy every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Then the 112 degree days. I know.
That's coming for us all.
I know.
And, yes.
I'm going to enjoy this while it lasts. So
that's the good, is this is only temporary until next year. And then it's back.
Yep.
And I feel like the old man yelling at clouds. Well, it never used to be this bad. I don't know if that's actually true. It feels true.
I'm an old man. Yeah. I hate everything but Matlock.
Yeah, I don't know if it actually is worse or if I just tolerate it less.
¿Por qué no los dos?
I still don't know what that means.
Why not both?
Oh, it might be both. So yeah, I don't really,
I mean, what I'm saying is just, you know, your tolerance for it might be worse and it might actually be worse at the same time.
That's a fair point. It could very well be. It's not a whine about a Wednesday, but we might as well. Actually went out to the, driving range yesterday, early-ish mid-morning after breakfast.
I saw your Instagram post about it.
Yeah, whacked a couple of golf balls around. It was a lot of fun. It was not incredibly windy then. It was breezy. But, you know, we made it happen. It was a lot of fun. And then we went home and we tried to get some ribs on the grill. That didn't really... We didn't have enough time to smoke them before dinner.
Oh.
Had an early bedtime because of the whole B-team edition part of that. But, yeah, so we made that happen. It was good. It was a good weekend. Outside of the sports ball, it was a good weekend. Because Rockies lost because they can't hit. Pitchers pitched okay.
They did.
Going back to Miami, Rockies rotation was all right. Ryan Feltner, not great in the sixth yesterday, but it was pretty decent. You know, starting pitching was not terrible. What was it? Gomber went 8 scoreless. Cal Quantrill had a scoreless start in there, and they lost one of those two games. And then the Nuggets Saturday. It's getting close to time to where Jamal Murray is more of a detriment than he is a benefit with that calf. Because he was not good in the first half of that game.
He was scoreless in the first half, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
I can remember if
terrible.
He was
El Terrible.
I can remember if he was entirely scoreless or if he had like two in the first half.
No, Squadouche, 0-for-5 from the floor. Whereas the Joker, Michael Porter Jr., had 15 and 13. Nuggets led 44-40 at the half after being down in a huge hole in the first half. Anthony Edwards was stellar. Both sides of the court. Stick him on Jamal Murray, and Jamal Murray had nothing. Then old man Mike Conley Jr. is out there playing defense still, even though he's 5-for-8 from the field. Minnesota's good.
That's Minnesota's a really good team.
Really good.
And I'm going to go on record as saying that while I really still want the Nuggets to win this series.
Oh, you're saying this series is over, huh?
No. Okay. No. Well, I'm saying that I want the Nuggets to win this series, and I still think they can. Yes, Jamal. I mean, look, when Jamal Murray's not hot, that's one thing. The problem is the depth.
Yeah.
And we were saying it, you know, even before the Lakers series, that Nuggets depth is going to be something to kind of watch out for if it's a issue that they can't necessarily overcome. Now,
man, the bench was a nothing burger too.
Bench was a nothing burger. And like I was, you know, starting to get at is I would not be shocked if Minnesota were to find themselves, if they beat the Nuggets, which I'm hoping doesn't happen. But if they beat the Nuggets, I would not be surprised if this is an NBA Finals capable team.
Yeah. Yeah, I really think it is. I mean, Mavericks are all right. They're not the worst team in the world, obviously, because they're still into the postseason.
Right.
You know, I don't know anything really about the East other than the fact that I don't know about the East, but you got Timberwolves Nuggets game 2 coming up tonight. Mavs Thunder game 1 coming up tomorrow night. Oklahoma City's pretty good. They're number 1 seed in the West, obviously, winning the tiebreaker over the Nuggets. I don't know how their youth is going to handle the pressure of a playoff series because, man, Kyrie Irving's been good for the Mavs. But, yeah, I kind of agree with you. I feel that this could go one of two ways. Whoever wins this series between the Nuggets and the Wolves is kind of destined for the finals. Or the Mavericks or the Thunder just take advantage of an absolutely beaten-up Nuggets or Timberwolves team in the Western Conference Finals.
I could see both those things happening.
Because those two teams, they'll get up and down. This series, Nuggets Timberwolves, is gonna be a kind of a clang and bang series, I think, a little bit more so than the other one. Nuggets are down 1-0, and we might as well just jump right into it.
What's happening?
Yes, what's happening is brought to you by our friends over at ComWest. We saw Nate poking around here earlier last week, maybe cutting that new spot, brother.
Yes.
Yeah, ComWest is your technology partner. One team, one call, one goal. I got that backwards. One call, one team, one goal. Servicing Western Colorado, Grand Junction, Fruita, Clifton, Montrose, Delta, Rifle, and more. ComWest Technology Service Partner is a tailored program that proactively supports your voice and data needs. By having them as your technology partner, you have the ease and convenience of reliable technological support without having to hire in-house staff. Give them a call. ComWest, 970-242-8142, or email them info@comwestcorp.com. Well, let's start with the Denver Nuggets. They fall 106-99 in game number 1 on Saturday to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And here's what head coach Mike Malone had to say after the contest: the fact that they allowed too many shots to go in after leading at the half.
First half, they had 40 points on 36 from the field, and then we got back in the game by getting stops. Second half, I just felt not nearly enough discipline and physicality that they were able to get whatever they wanted. 71% in the second half of a playoff game is unacceptable.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
thanks, Mike.
Thanks. They hit essentially 3 out of every 4 shots in the second half. Just
thanks for the newsflash, Tom Brokaw.
Absolutely. I mean, unacceptable is the right word. You are toast in a week if you let that type of shooting happen.
Mm-hmm.
Nikola Jokic did lead the Nuggets with 32, 9, and 8, but even he felt kind of ineffective, really.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Is even on a night where Joker has 30-plus and is one or two boards or assists shy of yet another triple-double, if that's it, if, you know, Jamal Murray, mm-hmm. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. had a good game. He's always kind of been that three guy, though. That third option scoring, Jamal Murray is either going to be your top scorer or your most important scorer in terms of when shots could occur.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that with the Lakers series, two buzzer beaters. You know.
He's your roller coaster, whereas Nikola Jokic is kind of like the Autobahn.
Yeah.
He's just kind of always there.
Yeah.
He had a good game. I mean, 32-8-9. Had seven turnovers. Nuggets were in foul trouble quite a bit. Aaron Gordon was ineffective. KCP, thanks for nothing. Mm-hmm. 15 points from the bench. You know, it's like Reggie Jackson had 5 points, was not great.
Oof.
Justin Holiday, 3 points. He had 5 rebounds. Sure, he was okay. Christian Braun, 7 points, but that's not what you're out there for. KCP, 6 points. Aaron Gordon, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists in 32 minutes. Like, I know he's pretty much the one on Gobert, but man, what a yikes.
They're
like, Karl Anthony Towns was in foul trouble almost the entire day and still had 20.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, he played 30 minutes, had 20 points, and that's just. Man, Minnesota's really good.
Anthony Edwards
is fantastic. Is a stud.
They're doing the comparison to Michael Jordan on the four letter this morning, which I think is hilarious because I'm not sure ESPN knows that there's a conspiracy theory floating around that Anthony Edwards is the secret child of Michael Jordan. So it's hilarious. It's
the love child of Mike.
Because, you know, they're... Because Anthony Edwards did not have a father in his life, did not have a father figure. Michael Jordan, notoriously, a bit of a womanizer. And they're saying that around the timeline that Mike would have been doing some of that stuff, about the same time Anthony Edwards was born, and here we are.
Well, I mean, okay, let's... So anyone born from, let's say when Mike started, say 80, 82.
All right.
Anyone born between 82 and now could potentially, under those circumstances, be Mike's love child.
That's-
but you know, he's no father in his life, and you know, Mike liked the ladies. Okay. There's only been about 4 billion. Even Mike's not that prolific a scorer. Like, it could be anybody's. Kobe. Let's just throw that out. Shaq. You know? Maybe it's Atlanta. Maybe Dominique Wilkins.
Who knows?
Who knows? Could be anybody. Let's start some of our own conspiracy theories. That one may be the most ridiculous one I've heard. And I've been into some weird places on Reddit.
Fair.
That one might be the most tenuous. Because even now, it's like, okay. There's some weird ones you get into on Reddit, and you're like, well, I guess I can understand how people would buy into this. You know? Like some... I'm not even going to mention which ones because that'll
set off a...
Open a Pandora's box that even a fire cannot contain. So, but some of them you're like, I guess I could see that. That one's a no. That one's a no for me. No for me, boss. Nearly a week after awaiting, the Colorado Avalanche know who's next, to quote Bill Goldberg in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Radek Fox's third period goal lifted the Dallas Stars over the Vegas Golden Knights 2-1. In Game 7 in Dallas, the Avs now take on Central Division rival Stars in the Western Conference semis. The Avs won 3 or 4 games against the Stars this season. Game one is on the Team Sports Network, I believe, tomorrow night. Coverage starts at 7 o'clock from Dallas. Okay. Colorado Rockies.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Yeah. Man alive. Ryan Feltner's strong start fell apart in the sixth inning, and the Rockies dropped another low-scoring road game, losing in Pittsburgh 5-3. It's the 14th time in 19 road games the Rockies have failed to score at least 5 runs.
Oh, no! Yeah. We suck again!
Here's the thing. Rockies went 1-5 on the 6-game road trip, but the starting rotation posted an ERA of 3.47.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah, Colorado went 8-37 with runners in scoring position.
Ah.
And Bud Black tells us fire is hot.
Again, just, you know, unable to get the big hit throughout the course of the game a couple different times. That's been, it's been a killer for our offense. We got to get a couple guys hot, you know, capitalize on those situations where we get guys on and get a ball in the gap or, you know, keep the line moving with a couple more hits.
You got that Cartman clip again? My reaction to Bud Black's reaction to the Pirates game.
Oh, thanks for the news, Black Tom Brokaw.
Thank you. And I like Bud. I don't think this is all Bud's fault, but 8-37 with runners in scoring position.
Look, we all know, and I was actually watching a pretty cool TikTok about it yesterday, how hard it is.
Never been said together before.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
There was a video I saw the other day, just how hard it is to hit a baseball.
You got like 110 milliseconds or something or other to the side.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. And that's fine. That's human, you know, nature and human error and all that. 8-37. 37 tries and you hit it 8 times.
Yep.
If you threw a baseball at me 37 times and expected me to hit it, I could squeeze like 7, maybe 6, but that's me. I'm Joe Schmo. Right. I am the afternoon snooze.
You might be able to get a couple of bleeders, maybe a flare.
Yeah.
Something.
If I square up to bunt, I get at least 2.
And
I'm not a professional athlete is my point. Yeah. I'm not paid millions of dollars to hit the baseball.
I'm a professional athlete like Chris Bryant's a professional athlete. My back hurts today. That's pretty much where our commons end.
It's so true, though.
So here are the Rockies' starts. The starting pitching for this last road trip.
All right.
Ryan Feltner went 8, gave up 3 earned runs against Miami. And he left the game with a 5-3 lead. They lost 7-6 in 10 innings.
Now, does he doesn't get the loss for that?
No,
does he
does not.
All right, something.
Next day, Dakota Hudson goes 5 2/3, 2 earned runs, and he departed the game with a loss. He gets hung with a loss. It was 2-1. The final was 4-1. That's for a Rocky starting pitcher, 2 earned runs.
You literally can't ask for much better.
You can't get much better. Dakota Hudson is 0-5, by the way. Then the series finale against the Marlins, Peter Lambert goes 3 1/3, gives up 4 earned runs. It was not great. Peter was not very good in that game, but the Rockies eventually got him off the hook. He left trailing 4-3. Rockies tied it up in the 5th, then lost in the 10th again by a score of 5-4. Now we go to Pittsburgh, and the Rockies got a stellar, absolutely nail start from Cal Quantrill. 7 2/3, no earned runs. The bullpen, try as they might, could not blow that game. And the Rockies beat the Pirates by a score of 3-2. They moved to 8-24 on the season. How did they ever win 8?
And that game that they won 3-2, they did not trail in that game.
Yes, so broke the string.
31 game streak of trailing in every game.
Yeah.
They snapped it.
You know what they did the next night, though? Started a new one.
There we go.
Austin Gomber, 6 shutout innings, and only matched by Jared Jones, 7 shutout innings. That may have been the best pitched game the Rockies have been a part of, both sides, in maybe 5 years.
And they lost.
At least since the pandemic. And they lost 1-0. But, I mean, yeah, when the other guy goes 7 innings of one-hit ball and you match him essentially with 6 innings of 4-hit ball and your guys strike out 10 times, Austin Gomber did all he could because he's not allowed to hit anymore because they have the universal DH. He might have been able to actually manage a base runner. Nolan or Jones and Bednar and David Bednar and Colin Holderman, they faced one over the minimum. The only person that got to hit 4 times was Ezekiel Tovar. He went 0-for-4, but Austin Gomber, great job. And then the series finale yesterday, starting pitching, Ryan Feltner was really good through 5 innings and had a 3-1 lead going to the bottom of the 6th, and he kind of fell apart there. That one's kind of on him. The Rockies had 7 hits. They were only 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position, but they kind of had home runs, so they didn't have a ton of guys in scoring position all the time. And that one's on Feltner. But he still was really good the first 5 innings. Starting pitching is just absolutely dog-awful. The hitting. Starting pitching was good.
Starting pitching.
Hitting, dog-awful on that 6-game road trip.
And it's been dog-awful for the entire season. I mean, even going back to last season, it's been awful.
Yeah. We'll dig in deeper to the numbers. Rockies are off today before hosting the Giants coming up on Tuesday to start a 3-game series. Well, it was an interesting weekend for the Colorado Mesa baseball team.
Yeah, it was.
Down in Adams State.
They scored
almost 100 runs in 4 games and emerged 2-2.
Yeah, their run differential, I did the math, was 86-55.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 2-2.
2-2.
I don't know if there's anything that you can kind of learn from that series. Just because, like, you score 16 runs in the first game and you get run ruled 28-16. Next game, you drop 36 on them in the first of a doubleheader, and then you drop 24 in the second game of the doubleheader.
They scored 60 runs Friday.
Just on Friday.
Okay, so let's get the basics. CBU Baseball split with Adams State. Game 1 Thursday was a run rule loss, 28-16. Friday, doubleheader sweep, 36-6, 24-7. That's very much CMU Adams State football scores.
Yeah.
The series finale saw the Mavs fall 14-10 to finish out the regular season. They're 34-16, 24-8 in the RMAC. They secured the RMAC regular season title, I think, for the 100th straight year is what it feels like.
Something like that, yeah.
It's like 9 or 10. The RMAC tournament starts at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex on Wednesday. Stay tuned to us here on the team for, coverage, stations.
Because it might be on a different station.
We're not sure exactly what's where right at this point in time. But you score 16 and you get run ruled, first of all. That one
probably stings a little.
That one hurts. But that one is like you. If you're a starting pitcher, you got to go into, or a pitcher at all, you got to go into that locker room and be like, sorry, guys.
My bad.
You put up 16 runs and we couldn't help you out there at
all. It's anti-Rockies.
It's a little bit, yeah.
It's like, you have the run support, but the starting pitching is the.
Yeah, they had no problem hitting with runners in scoring position. They scored 100 runs in 4 games, essentially. And then the problem is Adams State didn't really have a problem on Thursday or Saturday. Friday, not bad. That was pretty good.
That's really good.
Adams State scored 13 runs in 14 innings on Friday. That's not bad. Then the 14 runs on Saturday. Mavs finish off the regular season, and they are into the RMAC tournament. CME Maverick softball team fell out of the RMAC tournament. They lost to Regis Thursday night, 8-0. Beat CSU Pueblo to stave off elimination Friday morning before falling to Metro State Friday night. The Mavericks now wait the selection show this morning, about 35 minutes to determine whether their season will continue in the South Central Regional Tournament. The men's lacrosse team wrapped up the regular season Saturday, 15-12 winners over D3 Colorado College. The game was scheduled to take place after the RMAC tournament to give both teams a quality opponent for the RPI. After trailing by as many as 6 goals, CMU rallied back in the second half, James Steinke leading the way with 4 goals as CMU finishes with a 13-4 record, 7-1 in the RMAC.
They had the men's lacrosse selection show yesterday evening, like 7:30 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch it, but I saw the results. And unfortunately, Mesa did not make it to the NCAA tournament, so their season has...
That's definitely it. All Front Range teams away from the Western Slope at all costs.
It's fear. That's all it is.
It's just total fear. Absolutely.
Yep. Fruit of Monuments' Colton Hicks helped secure another league win over Durango Saturday. Colton Hicks came through the game-tying home run in the fifth, followed by Lucas Weaver double to take the lead. Wildcats excised the Demons 7-4 and 6-0 in league play. Do you know what Fruit of Monuments' winning streak stands at in Southwestern league play?
Oh, it's got to be north of, like... I'm going to say like north of 30.
No. 26. You were very close. Fruit of Monument has a home and away with Grand Junction Tuesday and Friday of this week. Friday on the Team Sports Network is our Highway 50 game of the week. Montrose beat Central in extra innings by score of 3-2. The Red Hawks are 11-9 overall, 4-4 in league play. They host Palisade on Tuesday. That's our team's Highway 50 game of the week tomorrow starting at 3:45. Central bounced back from that loss to beat Gunnison on Saturday, 7-5. Delta Panthers run ruled North Fork Saturday by a score of 11-1. The Panthers are 7-0 in the 3A Western Slope League standings there at Olathe Tuesday and host Montrose on Thursday. I'm not sure what our Highway 50 game of the week coverage is for that coming up later on in the season. We'll have other prep scores as we go throughout the show, but that is
what's happening.
Brought to you by our friends at ComWest. Info at comwestcorp.com, 242-8142 for ComWest. You can get your good, your bad, your ugly in on the text line, 970-242-1340. You can call us up as well. We'll come back. We'll take a look more at Nuggets. Timberwolves had a little more long form Post Malone and a whole lot more. Stick around because we have Wrigley Field, Colorado sports trivia question. Got a question for that. And we have the number game coming up next hour. You are on the hook for that.
Looks I got like it.
You have one ready to go. It is the B-Team edition of the Jim Davis Show. We're off and running on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado sports leader, the team.
One, two.
Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show, a B-Team edition, Buckeye and Baked Goods.
Ooh.
Oh, that bass is stank.
It's good.
Ooh, brother. Got the rolled up nose stank face with the bass. That's
I love it.
Anyway, it's the B-Team edition. Buckeye and Baked Goods with you here. Coming up tonight is game number 2, Nuggets and Timberwolves of the Western Conference semifinals. Nuggets right now, the matchup predictor on ESPN.com, 51.9%. The Nuggets favored to win that one by almost 5 percentage points. Denver right now, 5.5-point favorites. But after game 1's 7-point loss, Michael Malone met with the media and pretty much said what we were all thinking. At times, the Nuggets could best be described by the words yuck and poo.
We didn't get any stops. I mean, first half, they had 40 points on 36 from the field, and we got back in the game. Mike getting stops and becoming more physical. I thought a bench had a lot to do with that. The Reggie was outstanding. Justin Holiday, Christian Brown. But then in that third quarter, I think at one point, they might have shot like 90% that quarter. Naz Reid got going. Karl Anthony Towns got going. Mike Conley got going. Where Anthony Edwards carried the day in that first half. But second half, I just felt not nearly enough discipline and physicality. And they were able to get whatever they wanted. 71% in the second half of a playoff game is unacceptable.
With Edwards, I mean, he's going to get his shots. Did you see anything late that could be done differently? Or is it just a matter of, you talk about a make-or-miss league, and he got hot along with Reed?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough one. You know, he is a great player. And I think at halftime, he had 25. And no one else really got going. So was Anthony Edwards' show, but we're up. And then what you worry about in that third quarter, I don't know how many points he scored in that third quarter, but I know Carl got going and the other guys got going. And that's when they become really dangerous, because now you have three scores, four scores, and that can't be the case. I mean, Ann had 43, Carl had 20, Nas had 16 off the bench, Conley had 14. It'll be a quick exit if we allow four guys to get off like that.
And you got to start better. Like,
yeah.
They were minus 23 in five games against the Lakers in the first quarter. They were down 14-8 7 minutes in. Like, not even seven, like 6.5 minutes in. Yes, they ultimately outscored Minnesota, but damn, how do you score 4 points in 7 minutes in a playoff series opener?
Against a team that you really should be, I mean, you played against them last year, you beat them. It was a tough series last year.
Yeah. It's probably the stiffest competition the Nuggets have faced, and that's why this series is, everybody's talking about it. Out of the four that are left, this is going to be the best one to watch from whistle to whistle. But, man, at least live up to the hype. You don't have to win, but live up to the hype. Man, that first 5 minutes, you're like, this game's over. I mean, the Nuggets made it a contest, but wow.
Well, they led at halftime.
And how many times can you come back from a double-digit first-quarter deficit or first-half deficit? We saw it against the Lakers, and they expended a ton of energy just to get back in those games. They kept churning along, and the Lakers just not good enough to hold off the Nuggets for 48 minutes, but Minnesota is.
Yeah.
You saw it last night, like 44-40, Nuggets up maybe like 6 points early in the third quarter. 6 or 8, somewhere around there. Minnesota just didn't care. Like, there's no panic. They weren't like the Lakers, like, oh, man, we need a shot or toast. That did not matter to them, and that's going to be a problem for the Nuggets is, like, the Lakers kind of knew where their limitations were, and it was below the Nuggets wherever, like, whatever you want. Outside of all-time scoring, where LeBron is ahead of Nikola Jokic by a few. Like, outside of that, the Nuggets kind of held the advantage. And I'm sorry, like, I know he's got a lot of responsibilities, but, man, I need more, because I know I can get more from Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
I know I can get more because I've seen it. We saw it against the Lakers. We saw it last year. Like, I know I can get more than what, 9 points on 6 shots. Yeah, he was 4 of 6. He didn't take a ton of shots. He made, you know, 60%, but I need a little bit more. Jamal Murray is going to be smothered when he's out there. Nikola Jokic is going to get swarmed. Anthony Towns is going to be around. Rudy Gobert, Jaden McDaniels, they're all kind of going to, I need a little bit more from Aaron Gordon. I need a lot more. I need a lot more than 9 points. I need 16, 18, somewhere around there, with probably 10 rebounds a night going out the rest of the way. That's not 9-4 or whatever it was. It's not going to be enough.
Yeah.
They just, the competition is better. And you just need to play better. They need to play better. They need to shoot better. They need to. They need to defend better. That too. They need to start better both sides of the court. They need to defend better. They need to shoot better in the first quarter than what they've done pretty much the entirety of the playoffs. Playoffs? But the entirety of the playoffs, they've not been great to start. And at some point, you're going to run out of gas having to come back, come from behind in all these games, and it's going to get earlier and earlier every game just because of the fatigue factor, which is worrisome because this is only the Western Conference semis. It's not even the conference finals, let alone the NBA finals. Anyway, it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Last night was the Netflix live roast of Tom Brady. Tom.
I saw a little bit of this on the interwebs this morning.
These are some of the clips, and
you cleaned these up, right?
Yes, I did, because there was some cleaning up to do. Well, I'll kind of set the stage a little bit. So they did an opening vignette with Drew Bledsoe. You'll hear that. You'll hear Bledsoe's remarks. Belichick got up there, Julian Edelman, and then at the very end, it's Robert Kraft.
Great seeing you again. This is a big night. The fans want you. Everyone wants you. But it's not your night. Sorry, Drew. Brady.
Yeah, coach.
You're in. Let's go.
Let's go. Are you kidding me? Again?
So, hey, look, buddy, you know, you have more rings than I do, but I've experienced a couple things that you will never experience. You know, the feeling of being the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. And a 28th wedding anniversary. It was yesterday.
Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job.
You remember when you used to yell at us? Look, the kids down at Foxborough High can make that play.
I've been waiting for this for so long.
Look, Foxborough High is the only job offer you had.
And one more thing. In case Vladimir Putin you're watching, give me my ring back, will you?
So there you go. Some of the clips and highlights from the roast of Tom Brady, who I guess it looked like he was having fun for the most part, although people were saying... Apparently he got really upset at the one joke Jeff Ross made about...
Yeah, the massage joke.
About Robert Kraft, which I thought, buddy.
Yeah.
Of all of the punching bags that you opened yourself up to with this, that's the one you're like, really?
You know what, though? I will say this. I was surprised to see Bill Belichick there.
So was I.
Not because I don't think Bill can be funny, because I think Bill can be funny.
I think he can be sneaky funny, too, yeah.
But the fact that everything we heard is their relationship was not great.
Right?
At this point, right? So to see him there and take part of it, that was very nice. I can do without Jeff Ross ever again. I can do without roasts ever again, because they're usually not roasting the person of the hour. They're usually roasting the other roasters, which just
the whole
never really made sense. But, yeah, it seemed like it was an interesting... Like, I'm not going to go back and watch it by any means, but...
Well, I don't have Netflix anymore, so I can't...
It seemed like it was a very... a good time was had by all except for Tom Brady and Jeff. Maybe he's just tired of Jeffrey Ross. And all of the... You can kind of go through a timeline of catering at these things just by looking at Jeffrey Ross.
Oh, yeah.
The huskier and sweatier he is, the better the catering. The thinner and more hair he has, the earlier in his career it is.
You know what?
See, that's a good roast.
You might be onto something there.
And, it was Bill Belichick. He's been making the round, doing the Pat McAfee thing. And
oh, did the NFL draft?
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily image rehab, but he's unbuttoned the top button, if you know what I mean. Bill unplugged.
I completely agree.
Is about as fun as Brady unplugged, to be perfectly honest. Now we just need Bill smashed on tequila and throwing the Lombardi from boat to boat.
There you go.
So There you go. Soundcheck, the roast of Tom Brady. We'll be back with more on the Jim Davis Show. B-Team Edition, Buckeye and Baked Goods with you here on a Monday. The good, the bad, the ugly, get yours in. Text or call the show, 970-242-1340.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
What?
On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back to a B-Team edition of the Jim Davis Show. Buckeye and Baked Goods with you here, 7:45. Coming up next hour, we'll have Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs. We'll go around the NFL, top of the hour. Good call, bad call, the number game, all still to come. Four down territory coming up later on in the 9 o'clock hour with our Wrigley Field Colorado sports trivia coming up then. But you can get your thoughts in. On the Avalanche and Stars tomorrow night. Nuggets Timberwolves game number 2 coming up tonight. Rockies, if you feel necessary.
I will say this. It seems to me, at least, that every time we absolutely just trash the Rockies, they go out and have at least a decent game the next day.
Yeah. I can't be any more hard on them than I am.
That's also true.
And still try to get people to listen to them on our
program.
So, outside of that, Michael Tolia has been demoted. Still no real update on Kyle Freeland or Chris Bryant or Nolan Jones. Man alive. They dropped 2 of 3 in Pittsburgh to the Pirates. They are hitting as a team right now. The average is .235. That is good enough for 10th in the National League. They have 340 strikeouts. That's the most in the National League. 91 walks. That's the second fewest. The least amount of stolen bases, but I don't care about that. Runs, 123 runs, 14th in the National League out of 15. 27 home runs. That's 12th. Their offense is putrid.
I was going to say, the stolen bases number, I wonder how much of that is just they're not getting on base in the first place to then have the chance to steal them.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the leader right now is Brenton Doyle with 4, and I feel he had those all in the same inning.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, Tovar has 3. Other than that, like, you're right. Like, nobody's really getting on. On base percentage is .297. Like, how do you lose to the Marlins, who then go to Oakland and allow the A's to score like a million runs?
Your guess is
sucks.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Like, that's not a good team, and you get swept.
You got walked off twice by them.
In extras, and it's just... It's so, so, so putrid. And here's more Bud Black.
Here we go.
If you want it.
You know, the ball got elevated in the 6. Some high sliders, high change to Sawinski. The ball just started creeping up a little bit, up to Reynolds, ball in the corner. So you're right, Corey. First 5 innings solid, down, in, at times up. But in the 6th, multiple pitches up, couldn't get the ball down. Again, just, unable to get the big hit throughout the course of the game a couple different times. That's been, it's been a killer for our offense. So somewhere along the line, we got to get a couple guys hot, right, and being able to, capitalize on those situations where we get guys on and get a ball in the gap or, keep the line moving with a couple more hits. It just hasn't happened, the first part of the season. Well, that was a tough one. Mac just froze. He got him. So that was frustrating.
You scored 5 runs in the top of the first against Miami to start this road trip. And then the rest of the way, you were outscored 23-12.
It's not great.
No.
Not ideal.
You got walked off 3 times in 4 days. 5 days. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. You wasted a... Cal Quantrill had a scoreless outing. Come back, Austin Gomber had a scoreless outing. You wasted both of those. You won the Quantrill one. Sorry. Oh, I missed that.
Well.
It is... And there's no way out. There's no answer. There's no real hope that this is going to get better, because you take a look, you're like, oh, okay, maybe if, maybe when Kyle Freeland comes back, he of his 13.21 ERA. There's some pieces in the bullpen. Like Justin Lawrence got demoted. Thank God. Sorry, I don't like people losing their jobs, but man alive, he was atrocious coming in the ninth. He finished 7 games. He's 1-2 with a 6-even ERA.
Oof.
In 12 innings. Like, ugh. Yeah, oof is right. You know, Victor Vodnik, his ERA plus is 207, which means he is 107% better than league average at his role. That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
2.29 ERA. Jalen Beeks, 2.81. You take a look, all of the starters have a sub-6 ERA, and they are 2-13, the starters. And, you know, like Peter Lambert's got a couple starts, Ty Block's got a start. So even if you rope in those guys, everybody who started a game for the Rockies that's not named Kyle Freeland has an ERA under 6. A team ERA is 5.65 because the bullpen is atrocious. Austin Gomber's ERA is sub-4. 3.79. Cal Quantrill, 4.31. He's been better than I thought he was going to be, because I didn't think he was going to be great.
Right.
He's been pretty good. And Feltner, still trying to get things figured out, has an ERA of 5.54. Dakota Hudson's got the highest. He's 0-5, but he's also had a couple of outings to where he's hurt himself. And a couple where the team is just not giving him anything to work with.
No.
Against the Cubs, he went 5 1/3, allowed 3 runs, none of them earned, and got the loss because the team got shut out. The only time the Rockies have given him more than 3 runs of run support was the Padres game, which they had to win 10-9 because he wasn't great, Dakota Hudson.
No.
He went 6-3 earned runs against Tampa Bay. That's quality start. Rockies lost 3-2. Went 6 innings, gave up 5 runs to Toronto, lost 5-3. He went 6 innings, gave up 4 earned runs to Seattle. Rockies lost 7-0. He went 5 2/3, gave up 2 earned runs to Miami. The Rockies lost 4-1. So Dakota Hudson, you look and you're like, oh man, he's 0-5 with an ERA north of 5. Well, not all on him.
This is something, too, that's maybe part of the conversation. Bud Black's background is pitching.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give you very good analysis about how the pitching was, where balls were going, strike zone, all that. The offense being as putrid as it is, I'm wondering if maybe there is a little bit of a, and I'm not saying he can't understand the hitting aspect. I'm wondering, though, if there's maybe just a disconnect.
But he's also not the hitting coach.
True.
He's the manager. They have a hitting coach, allegedly.
What's his job?
I don't know right off the top of my head who it is. You know, but it's like, just not a great... Oh, it's Hensley Mullins, the I'm going to land this plane guy. Hensley Mullins, rather. He's the hitting coach. Andy Gonzalez and PJ Pater are the assistant hitting coaches. I have no idea any of those guys' track records. I know sometimes the best hitters aren't the best coaches. Same with pitchers. Usually it's random catchers like Kevin Cash and, you know, Don Baylor, who's a DH guy. It's usually those guys. Like, I don't know what, and he can only cook with the ingredients he's given to.
Right.
You know, but It's just, it's bad. This is a front office failing. Front office is failing the coaching staff. Hour two on the way next. We'll go around the NFL. We have the number game. Good call, bad call. Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs. That's all coming up. Stick around, won't you? That's the Jim Davis Show.